Morning, folks. Appreciate you tuning in. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here this morning. Gorgeous Tuesday morning. My name is Bruce Dickey. I appreciate you tuning in. As I am joined today by one of my monthly guests that I always enjoy having into the studio, does a great job. And he's, how long have you been doing this now? Almost 2 years, isn't it?
2 years in May.
Wow. 19. Is tonight the reappointment potentially?
No.
Or is it next week or next
month?
Next month?
Hopefully.
Yeah, potentially. That's what I guess I should have prefaced it, shouldn't I? I'm joined by ladies and gentlemen, Fairfield Police Chief Keith Cocklazer. Thanks very much for coming in, Chief. I appreciate that. And he brought company with you today, didn't you?
I brought company.
You brought company. We're going to talk a little bit of 911 stuff today. How long has it been, Tom Wendland, for you to install and get 911 up and running? Is it an ongoing process still?
The process continues on, but once the referendum went through in March of 2009 and we went, in quotations, live, June of 2012, about 5 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, talking to Tom Wendland. He is the Wayne County 911 coordinator. And, you know, you see it, you've seen people in television or in movies over the past 15, 20 years. They would call 911 and you think you know how to call 911. You think you know why to call 911, and people see the emergency shows, right? And they think they know how and why and when they would need to call 911. You're going to give us all an update today, or give us all an education today, aren't you?
Exactly. On February the 11th, 2012, anywhere in the United States, you could dial 911.
Even if there wasn't a county set up, right?
Right. Anywhere in the United States.
It would go to some kind of call center or something?
Yeah, some phone number somewhere would ring. We want people to dial 911 whenever you have a medical emergency. If you have someone's having a heart attack, a stroke, somebody has a fire, a burglary, anything in progress, car crashes, those are the types of things we want people to call 911 for. I know there's a lot of departments still have those 10-digit phone numbers, but if you dial 911, we can pinpoint where you're calling from.
You still have one too?
Yes.
The 10-digit phone number as well?
That's correct.
Where are you out of? Where do you work? Where are you based?
We're based out of the Fairfield City Police Department.
Okay. All right. And do you handle the 911 calls out in the county too, or is it just Fairfield? Okay.
Any call that's originated in Wayne County comes to us. We take the call, find out what the problem is, and dispatch the appropriate resources or transfer the call.
Okay. Who would you transfer the call to? Like to EMA or something? Or?
We transfer the call. If it's a non-emergent or an emergent call that needs to go to the sheriff's department, we'll transfer it to them or to the state police if it's on the interstate or another county.
How long have you been doing it, Tom? Were you the original guy to start this, or was Galen part of that or something? I'm trying to remember.
Jay Smith was the original, and then Diana Harrell was there for a little while, then Galen, and then I took over almost 6 years ago.
How you liking it?
I love it.
Do you really?
This is my thing.
Is that right? I'm glad you're. I am so glad you're here. Because somebody didn't name streets. I've always wanted the debate with the guy who didn't name and did name the streets as opposed to like numbering the streets. Why didn't you did you entertain the option of naming streets as opposed to numbering streets?
I can honestly say that happened before my time. But
ladies and gentlemen, he just messed up the next 5 minutes of the talk show.
Excellent. But I can tell you why it actually takes place is because we use a grid system in the county.
Yeah.
If you're on the north side of the road, you should have
most counties do, don't
right,
they?
Right. An odd number. If you're on the south side, you should have an even number. And it starts in the southwest corner of the county and works its way up and to the north and to the east.
Okay, so north is odd, south is even.
Correct.
How about east and west? If you're on a north-south road, east is what?
East is even. Odds are on the west side.
Okay. All right.
Now, in the villages, and the cities, it may not be that way.
Oh, really?
Because they kept their addressing scheme. We just conform to it.
I see. Fairfield is north is odd, as I'm sitting here thinking about some addresses.
Correct.
Yeah, we're the same way.
Are we? Okay. Yes. Okay. So what happens if I'd want to change the name of a street now or something like that? Is that possible?
It is possible at the addressing authority, which happens to be me, would...
He really didn't want me to ask this question because I usually get phone calls. Well, I want to change my...
I don't think you can rename it in town, Bruce.
Right.
I know where you're going.
Yeah, the city of Fairfield would make that decision, and then we would make our map conform to that.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask, and actually it does make sense. You know where the Dickey Ranch is.
Correct.
Where the farm is. Before we got addresses here in the county, of course we don't get mail out there. Never have had mail out there. But whenever you have, you have to give an address to somebody.
A physical address.
A physical address to somebody. Never had one. Hadn't had one for 80 years.
Landmark.
Correct.
It was a landmark. That's exactly. So basically, I would tell them Dickey Ranch Drive, just so that they would figure it out.
Correct.
And then that worked for years, for like 15 or 20 years. And then they would say that it's not going to work because they were using the 911 too.
Correct.
Which made it really kind of tough for a few years.
Right. Well, it's about 4-something, Illinois Highway 242.
Yeah, now it is, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. 441.
Off top of the head, right there.
Isn't that impressive?
That's awesome, isn't it?
So do you know where everybody in the county lives?
I used to. I've probably forgotten where some of them are, but I've physically laid eyes on most of the structures.
So you went around every place in the county?
Yes, sir. For about a year, I was the most hated man in Wayne County.
Bought by the dogs? Why were you the most hated man in Wayne County? Because you would show up
whenever you go from rural route box whatever to
123
County Road whatever.
Yeah, somebody's been rural route 5 box 102 for the last 500 years.
Yes.
Yeah. And they blamed you?
Well, I was the one who signed the letter. I may not have mailed it out, but I was the one that signed the letter.
By the way, congratulations. And how did celebrating Telecommunications Week go?
That was great.
It's lonely at the top.
We got to listen to our names being placed on WFIW WOKZ.
How about that?
It was awesome.
That was cool.
We're
going to mention all of them again today, too, by the way. You do know that.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't want you to forget anybody. I mean, since you've forgotten where people live now.
I bet I can find them, though.
I'm talking with Tom Wendland along with Keith Cocklazier. Okay, so the process, how long ago was that when you went around to every house?
It was in 2011 and 2012.
And the point of doing that was what?
We wanted to physically lay eyes on the properties. We had a company called Midwest GIS that went around and actually shot all the GPS locations in the county.
Really?
They went by the driveways throughout the county, and that took, I want to say, about 3 months for them to complete that.
How's that? Was this just for residential properties? Was it commercial properties? Or how'd it work?
Any driveway.
Like a lease road, too?
Yes. They physically pulled in, shot the GPS, and it was melted into a map. And then once the map was done, we did some tweaking to the map, and we started the monstrous task of doing some of the address changes.
All right, now I've got a Wayne County map. I've got a Wayne County plat map on my wall.
Okay.
And it's 48 inches by 60 inches or some such. Where do I get that other map? I don't need the names on it like that. I mean, where would I get a bigger map to put like the whole wall or something like that if I wanted one? Wouldn't that be cool, the coolest thing in the world? Let's say I've got a 10-foot wall. How can I get that?
Well,
GSI, contact these GSI people.
Actually, there's a local contact here in Wayne County that will do that.
No kidding.
The Wayne County Press will print you one.
Do they have one though? They have they have access to that, huh?
Yes, sir.
No matter how big I want.
They have a height requirement, but I'm not sure how big they will go. My guess is about 48 by 48.
That's really cool. Well, now, take his money, Bruce.
Keith,
this is the bad thing. Tom, you know me. You know that I've always been into maps. You may or may not know I've always been into maps, but I've always been into maps. Love them. And now you've got me spending next Christmas's money.
It'd be like a big crime show. We put on the wall and start pinpointing everybody.
There you go. Have you ever had thumbtacks? Have you ever done that in crime investigation? Putting the thumbtacks up there.
We just do it digitally.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier now. Yes, it does. I'm talking with Tom Wendland along with Keith Cocklaser. We're talking about all kinds of things with the telecommunications as well as the Fairfield City Police. And we'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show after these.
Shoes, they smoke them lucky strikes and wear a nylon suit.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. 927, 75 degrees on a pleasant day. Take advantage now. Rain is supposedly coming later. As it's still sunny, though. Try to get out there and get the lawns mowed or whatever you need done today, and now's a good time to do it. My guests this morning are Keith Cocklaser. He's the Fairfield Chief of Police, along with Tom Wendland. Tom is the Wayne County 911 Coordinator, and we've been talking about how the Wayne County 911 began, or the practical part of how it was set up. And now we were talking a little bit earlier about when and how folks need to call 911. I had the volunteer firemen out here recently. I've had both the city and the county guys. They said let them know if there's going to be a burn. Do you call 911 for that, or do you call the other number?
You can call 911, or you can dial our 10-digit emergency number. It's 842-5199.
Okay, and just let them know if you're planning. It's a planned burn, controlled burn. Right.
Correct. That we get numerous calls if it's on the interstate.
I gotta say, how often do you get calls on burns?
Anytime that someone sets something on fire.
Did you get one in my neighborhood the last week, Daryl? The reason I thought about calling to tell you that it looked like a controlled burn. My neighbor across the street, he had a flame about 30 feet high. But the good part, in his backyard, you can also look. It's got direct line of sight to the fire department, which is pretty good.
Yeah, that would be kind of handy. Now, in city, we usually don't get too many calls on it, but out in the county, we actually do get tons of 911 calls. Anything along that interstate, we get boo-coo calls from it.
Do you keep track? Do you know how many you get?
Normally, on a good field fire and a beautiful day, people drive around about 70 on a field fire.
No kidding. That seems like a lot.
Oh, yeah. That's how we determine how much of a fire it actually is, by the number of 911 calls we get. I had a lady call in.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. I had a lady call in last night or yesterday afternoon about a semi-trailer on fire. I got one call on it, so I didn't figure it was going to be too much of a issue.
The fire went out probably relatively quickly.
Yeah, my guess is he was having engine trouble and he pulled over and built a fire in it and got her going again.
Yeah. So, so he didn't call you for the tow truck, or he might have called somebody else, I guess. Probably called.
But we went ahead and sent resources to make sure that there wasn't actually a fire.
Well, that's good. That's good. Okay, if somebody calls 911, what information should they have, and what should they be prepared to tell you?
We would like to know the location. We want to know what's on fire or whatever the problem is. We need a callback number, who you are, and what the problem is.
Do you get folks calling you and not wanting to tell who they are?
Oh, yeah, we get anonymous calls all the time, but we try to get that information. Not that we're going to pass that information along, but if we need to call someone back, we need to know who we're going to talk to.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, everyone has a right to remain silent and anonymous.
Sure, so. Sure. What other things did you want to cover this morning? Let's mention who all your operators are.
Well, we'll give shout-outs. Our telecommunicators are Brad Moore, Jody Clark, Mark Wells, and myself.
Now, you've had this crew together for probably, what, now a year or two now when Mark Wells rejoined or something? Two years. That I'm surprised there's only four of you. You would think there's not enough hours in a week for the four of you to cover.
We get our fair share of chances at overtime.
They're busy.
Well, that's good.
We stay busy.
That's good. How what's the kind of training? What kind of training do you guys go through?
All of the telecommunicators are certified in emergency medical dispatch. We can answer, when we answer a 911 call for an ambulance, we can give them pre-arrival instructions of what to do. One of the things we can do is tell you whether or not you need to take aspirin or not, if it's a heart attack, something like that. We're all fire service dispatchers, and we're all law enforcement certified dispatchers.
What do those mean? Well, what's a fire?
A fire certified dispatcher, we are able to ascertain what's going on. We know the questions to ask and pre-arrival instructions. And one of the major pre-arrival instructions is to get out of the house and stay out.
First one, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. If not, the house smells like a chemical fire or something, you know, like my wall's burning up or something.
Right. Get out and stay out.
Let us take care of it.
And the law enforcement side the same way. We know what questions to ask and pass that along to the officers for their safety as well as the safety of the public.
I always wonder, and I've never toured the facility here. I've always wondered what the it seems like you guys need a bank of computers or a bank of, before the dawn of computers, you'd had like stacks and stacks of books that you could check stuff on.
Whenever I did my internship years ago, this was in the 80s.
Who trained you, Merle?
Actually, I did an internship with the state's attorney's office in 1988, but I went to the police department all the time. And they still had the microfiche at that point in time, and then they had one computer that they typed the information in, and it spit it out on a roll of paper. Now, whenever you go into our dispatch center, we have 19 monitors and a whole bank of computers.
19 different monitors?
Yes, sir. I really like to put another one up.
It's a little warm in there.
I was going to say, how's the ventilation?
We have independent air conditioning, and it works well.
That's good. Why do you have so many computers? Or so many monitors?
We have each monitor represents some type of a function. We have a digital mapping system. Whenever people call 911, it populates on that map so that we can see exactly where they're calling from.
Right.
And with we call it a computer aid dispatcher CAD system. We enter the information into that. Obviously, we have to have radios, and they're operated on a console. Well, it's a computer screen.
They're all digital now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Everything's digital. The chief takes good care of us. We have all sorts of equipment to work with.
Well, that's pretty impressive. How big are the monitors? I mean, for 19, I'm just sitting here again thinking of the practicality of it. I've got two.
We got 21 inch. We got.
I've got two basically 17 inch monitors here, and they've got a little age on them.
We have their big brother.
You got their big brother.
We have one monitor that we utilize for our camera system that's about 42 inches maybe.
Oh, my gosh. Can you, like, tie into other camera systems elsewhere through that thing, or how does that work?
That's all in-house. We have access to other. Yeah, but
we have the ability, but we don't run them all the time.
Wow. That's pretty fancy. Who runs you have training on that, I guess, then, too, right?
Yeah, it was all in-house training on that. The chief did most of the training on that.
You put all that together, didn't you, Mr. Techie over there?
Yes, we did.
Well, I hate to ask the chief the question, but I will. Can you tap into other systems and like throughout town and see other video system?
Yeah,
I didn't know if you were like if you could like tap into you know you see ATM video.
No,
or
we
have
to go
like
to
that.
The bank and speak with them about that.
Yeah,
but the most important one we have is you know we can get into high school and watch them make sure things all right.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah,
that's the most important one.
Yeah, get to. And I presume you'll be able to do that with the new high schools in the new high school in Wayne City, probably. Or?
Oh, I don't know about that, but
oh well, I guess you wouldn't. You're the city. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. This is all fascinating. Tom, let's talk. Okay, who else did you want to mention? I know you've mentioned your four.
I'd like to give a shout out to our Emergency Telephone Services Board or 911 Authority. The chairman's Scott Clark. The vice chairman's David Vaughn. He's the Fairfield Rural Fire Chief. Scott is the Wayne City Fire Chief. Sheriff Mike Everett. Chief Calklazer is also on the 911 Advisory Board. The ambulance coordinator, North Wayne, Don Barrett. The mayor of Mount Airy, Norm McKinney. And the Wayne County Board person is Royce Carter. Those are the people who I answer to.
That sounds like Office Space where the guy's got, I've got seven bosses. When did the TPS reports go bad?
I got him on both sides.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You've got him two different ways. Okay, Tom, I got to know then. You've been doing this now 25 years, 26 years?
I have been in public safety for 33 years.
33 years. See, now for the first part of that, you were still working down at Southern in Wayne City, right?
Mm-hmm. I started with the fire department in Wayne City when I was 16.
Okay. Tell me what in the dispatching. Mm-hmm. What has been what makes a dispatcher the most frayed, the most nervous, the most I know the training takes over should I presumably, but what can happen that really ruins your day?
Kid calls.
Really? Calls from children.
Well. Calls involving children.
Calls involving children. And that kind of puts extra pressure on everything, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. It gets your heart pumping.
Yeah.
The whole idea behind it is to stay as... If we have to stay calm.
Really?
And sometimes you have to, like...
You got a kid. You might have a kid calling in, mommy's sick or something, right?
Like that. Or a child's having a seizure or something like that. Those are... And that's the correct... Kryptonite for any type of emergency responder.
Really?
Children are.
How often do you run into that kind of call? I mean, I guess it's all random anyway.
We have no idea what's going to happen whenever that phone rings, but we don't want that to happen.
Of course. Do you keep track on how many calls you take a year?
Right now we're running about 9,000 calls a year.
Oh, really? Doing the math in my head, like 20 a day, 30 a day?
Right at it. That may not be dispatched calls, but that's the phone ringing.
What's the rocking chair shift? What shift do I want? What's the rocking chair shift?
I don't think there is one anymore.
No.
Is there not one anymore?
All those calls are just 911. Then we've got fire department, police department, ambulance, if they call the other line.
Man. You're just making this job less and less attractive to me, Tom.
Well, I work the 1P to 9P shift.
Okay.
That's the rocking chair.
There it is. I knew it was.
It's more of the rocket ship, I think.
Yeah, it's a rocket ship, not a rocking chair. It's a neat. I like the shift.
Well, I bet. Now, see, now that's the cool. Tell me a little bit about the building itself or the room itself. You're locked in, aren't you?
Yeah, we're locked down. You can only come see me if you have a key or we let you in.
Why is that?
The Illinois Commerce Commission, which is now ran by the Illinois State Police, we have to be secured to where no one can get to us.
Why'd they do that?
Because we are the first responders.
I was going to say, I guess I'm wondering had they had a problem somewhere.
Well, actually, there was a dispatcher in Mount Carmel that was shot by a crossbow a few years ago.
Is that right? Through, he just walked out or something, or he wasn't locked
in? Well, that was before we had to be locked in.
No kidding.
And that's one of the reasons why.
Well, I mean, that makes sense.
I really don't think I want to be shot by a crossbow.
I don't blame you a bit. Tom, I don't blame you a bit. But, yeah, I never really considered the – and is it like that just in Illinois, or is it like that throughout the country?
Throughout the country. Illinois is a requirement for a 911 center to be locked down. And people don't understand that whenever they come and they have to ring a bell.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking you.
We talk to them on the phone. Very seldom do we come out and see someone face-to-face. We do.
Sure.
But more often than not, we talk to them through the block wall.
That's pretty cool. I'm talking to Tom Wendland along with Keith Cocklesure. We've been talking about the 911. Earlier this month was National Telecommunications Week, and we're here to recognize the good work that these folks do, because they all hours of the night, all hours of the day, they are on call, ready to help out whenever you need them, and they do an outstanding job. We'll be back with more on the Bruce Dickey Show after these words. Folks, welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. It's 945, 76 degrees outside. Appreciate you tuning in. Today my guests are Keith Cocklesure of the Fairfield City Police. He's the chief, along with Tom Wendland. He's the Wayne County 911 coordinator. And we've been talking about a lot of 911 stuff. And Keith, the 911, you've been a policeman in Fairfield for 16 years now. What kind of difference is it as a policeman versus now without 911 and with 911? How much of a night and day, or is it night and day, or is the communication that much more effective?
They're still outstanding. They get us where we need to be. But from my point of view, you know, I've always been a city kid. When 911 came into place and they put all the signs back up like they were supposed to be,
we
go help the county. I can actually find you now.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know the grid. I didn't know the north end of town before, except I grew up there, until you actually have to learn it every day. Then that's second nature.
You know where Florence is?
Oh, yeah.
And Atkinson Drive.
Yep.
Northy
Drive, all of them.
But the difference probably to somebody moving in would be just even that much bigger.
Yeah, it's like I said, if a county gets a call they need help, I would know where to go now. Before it'd be the landmarks, like you said, you know, the horse used to stay in the corner next to that old burnout tree, turn right, go 2 miles, and we actually have the GPS tracking in our cars, and they can guide us to where we're going.
Oh, they can guide you?
Yeah.
So, Tom, you're able to see where their vehicle is.
Yeah, where the city officers are. Yes.
Do you have that in you don't have that in state police or in the county or
they have their own.
Oh, I guess they would
system.
I guess they would. That's interesting. Tell me, Keith, what's going on in the city? What's going on now with the springtime coming on? You got to look out for kids on bikes and that kind of stuff, right?
Kids on bikes. I think we have one more month of school. Does that sound right? Getting close.
I don't think it's that long.
Not even that long.
4 weeks.
So
three weeks.
That's coming up. We got prom this weekend. So the southeast of town be tied up a little bit.
Oh, really? Yeah, I didn't even think about that. How much of Center Street gets chewed up for prom?
Gets chewed up all the way down. Last time I saw it, there's probably kids parking already, getting in line. They always park a family car there, then they bring their dream car in to drive through.
So, oh, is that right?
But they reserve their spots. Second.
See,
Street.
I'm only on the end of it.
Yeah.
I always see the one thing because I drive through the other side.
Right.
Because I don't want to deal with the kids.
I've seen it almost down to Old Garmin, down 7th Street. It's getting that long.
Oh.
So it ties it up for a little while.
Wow.
But kids enjoy it. We'll do what we can to help the kids. The APs be there, make sure nobody drive through, guide people kind of around it. So that's coming
AP.
Up. Auxiliary police.
Auxiliary police.
Yep.
Plus, you'll have the folks, they'll have cleared out some parking lots or something to put all the cars after they get them parked, right?
Yes.
What about now folks are probably riding around on motorcycles a bit more, aren't they?
Yeah, getting warmer, looking out the window here, nice day. Got to be careful of the two-wheel motorcycles, scooters, they're becoming popular. They're running a little slower. You're going to find those.
I saw a guy on a scooter last night getting passed. I thought it was a bad spot, but somebody passed him on 7th Street in town. And when I saw her move to the other lane, I thought, what the heck is she doing? And then there's just some little dude just scooting along on a scooter. You got to watch out for those guys,
don't you? Got to watch out. Supposed to have their headlights on so you can see them, but with everything on in vehicles, every vehicle's getting a screen now. You're always in a hurry. Kids are talking, distracted driving. You got to be diligent of when you're driving.
Are the screens always on? Or I didn't know if at some point if the manufacturers were probably going to have to darken the screens up maybe while the car's in gear or something like that.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have a newer car, so I can't really answer
that. I don't either.
But no motion video where the driver can see.
Oh, really?
So it's got to be, say your stereo station or whatever. You can't be watching a movie while you're driving.
Yeah.
And it can't be viewable by the driver. So that's why all the
How do they get away with putting the reverse light or the reverse cameras in there then?
That's just when you're slow speed in a parking lot usually. But I've known people be playing games, watching what the kids are playing, going down the road. So, technology. You got to love it. Didn't have that back in the 80s there, Bruce.
Well,
the 8-track.
If we put the TV in the car, we certainly didn't have it on.
Yeah.
And it was kind of loading the car down.
Yeah,
even
it took
more
too much. You had to have the station wagon to haul it.
Had to have the station wagon to haul.
You had the cassette deck and the speakers in the rear window.
Yeah, exactly right. Talking to Keith Cocklaser along with Tom Wendland. Any other? What else is as the spring as we spring into summer? It seems like folks are starting to mow a little bit, and when folks mow then you see the junk cars out there. What's the how effective was your campaign last year on the junk cars?
Well, we were a little behind last year. I had to send two officers to what's called reclamation class. There's actually a process go through the Secretary of State to once we tow a vehicle off property, we have to do something with it. And we really didn't want 100 some cars sitting at the police department.
Yeah.
So we've completed that process.
Send them to, where do you send them?
You auction them off.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. You check. There's certain steps we have to take with the Secretary of State, check if there's liens and all the above. But most people work with us. But it is mowing season. We're glad people are mowing because we don't want the high weed. But try not to mow it out in the street because then we're going to stop up those storm sewers right here in the spring, and that's going to be bad.
Yeah.
This one thing leads to another. But we started the cars last month, and we got some people that are moving them. We got some people that are not moving them. So
it seemed like last year the number was relatively high. It was like over 60 was the number of junk cars in town.
And that's just first
time through checking them.
Yeah, we're trying to concentrate on the worst ones right now. You know, if you are working on your car, we're going to give you time to work on your car. Like we discussed, if a hypothetical guy has a water pump go out.
That's exactly right.
And every weekend he's working on it. Well, we're going to give you 3 or 4 or 5 weekends. We're going to let you get that taken care of because, you know, we are a small community.
Yeah, absolutely.
But 3, 4, 5, 6 years and the water pump's still not fixed, we're going to have to take care of the problem.
What have you, I know you said you're getting cooperation for the most part. What kind of resistance have you seen? Or do you get resistance? Somebody says, you know, I'm going to fix that car up. Look, I've got, it's come on, it's an antique.
Once I cut the tree out of the.
Yeah, once I cut the tree out of the engine. It's an antique, but I'm going to fix it up, officer. Why are you hassling me? Is that what you get?
We get that sometimes, but a lot of times it's a family member's car. We've had some where some people are on military deployment.
Yeah.
And, you know, respect military, we'll kind of let that one slide for a while.
Sure.
So, I mean, there's a wide wide range of excuses we hear. We hear of every day.
Yeah,
no matter if you're going 5 over, 15 over, we pretty much hear them all.
Yeah.
So, we like I said, we try to work with people, but we need to see an end result to clean up the neighborhoods.
Well, that's the thing. Not just a result, but you need to know that somebody's beginning steps, that steps are being taken, right?
Yeah, as long as we see progress. And like I said, we'll work with you, but if it gets to 6 months, 9 months, and nothing's been done.
Tom, do you get calls from folks? Do they call you, or whenever they call wanting cars, reporting a junk car, do you just automatically give that to Keith? Or they probably don't need to call 911 for that.
They don't call 911 for that. They call our 10-digit phone number and we pass it along to the powers that be, which happens to be the chief of police.
Yeah. Do you get, back to 911, do you get a lot of unnecessary phone calls? What kind of percentage do you think are improper calls to you?
Not as much as one would think. Occasionally we'll get people mistake 911 for 411, want to know somebody's phone number.
What is 811? Isn't there
811 is Julie for your digs and stuff like that.
Do they have is there some different thing for every number, every like 811, 911, 711, 611, 411?
Yeah, there's a 311 that's for bigger towns that has your non-emergent calls. People call 311 to get that taken care of.
Oh, instead of using the 10-digit.
Yeah, and a lot of places have 511, which gives you the state police for road conditions and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah. There is one person I do want to do a complete shout-out for, and that's Cindy Grimes. She is she's my right-hand person, and she's the chairman's right-hand person whenever it comes to doing research and keeping records and stuff like that.
She'd take that little red truck out into the little hinterlands of the county as well.
Actually, she drove me around the county.
I figured Cindy could probably knows where most of the places in the county are as well.
Yeah, she didn't get lost out in Pond Creek. I would have gotten lost in Pond Creek. Now, whenever we went over Wayne City side, she had a little trouble, but knew my way around that.
Well, you see, you know where the hoots and hollers are near Keynes.
Yes, yes, I do.
All right, you've got what's on the agenda for the big meeting tonight? Anything? You got anything going on, Keith?
Well, I got a couple. I got our police policy is going to hopefully get voted on by the council, and also maybe a ward of a parking lot, get people closer to our building.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Going to move it from the west side to the east side?
In front, on the north side, right in the front doors.
What are we going to do with the cannon?
I'm going to have to move the cannon.
I'm against that. I'm against change. I'm against it. You're moving the cannon. That's always been there.
That's always been there. Big parking lot's going to go right there because I think getting people in the door is more important than the cannon.
Well, now that's that's doggone it.
I bet you we can find a place for it.
That's probably right in my neighborhood.
It will not fire, Bruce.
Doggone it. I've got some places I think I can put it.
Before we go off here, I'm going to jump back to 911 real quick. If you do call 911, just stay on the line. Because if you accidentally dial, they've already captured your phone. It's already ringing in our place.
Do you have some accidental dials? How often do you get the accidental dials like that folks hang up?
8 times a day.
Is that right?
Yeah. A lot of these new phones, like the new smartphones and stuff like that, they have a touchy emergency button.
Yeah.
Whenever you see it, just stay on the phone because we already know where you're at, and we will call you back or we'll get some way of making contact with you.
We'll come meet you.
Well, see, now that's good. That's good for that's the best advice we've probably given everybody all day long. The most practical, anyway, because hopefully folks don't have to call 911. You know, that's the emergency number you just don't want to have to call, right?
Just stay on there and we'll consider it a test call. Make sure it works.
Well, that's good advice. Thanks very much for coming out today, Tom. I appreciate that. You've helped Keither out.
I enjoyed it.
That's the first time I've said that.
2 years.
Oh, I can't believe I said that. Oh, it hurts. Keith, thanks very much for coming out, too.
Thank you, Bruce.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Maybe, if I'm still alive. Have a great day, folks.